Let me invite you to open up God's Word with me this morning to the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 22 today. And with the Lord's Supper and our service today, our kids will remain with us for the duration of the service. And we'll resume Treehouse, our children's worship opportunity, next week during our morning gatherings. We've had a little bit of a different schedule, as you know, the last couple of weeks with Christmas and New Year's, and grateful for John Lane continuing our study in Joshua last week and preaching in my absence, and grateful for Jack Gordon leading us in worship through song as well last Sunday morning. But we continue our trek in Joshua as we're drawing near the end of this story, this book. We'll finish up Joshua, Lord willing, the end of this month. But we're in Joshua chapter 22 today. And if you're using a pew Bible, you can find this text on page 187. I'll read the first 9 verses this morning. And so as you find your place there, let me invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of God's Word. Joshua 22, beginning in verse 1. Bible reads, it says, "Then Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, 'You have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me in everything I commanded. For a long time now, to this very day, you have not deserted your fellow Israelites, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. Now that the Lord your God has given them rest as he promised, return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.' Then Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went to their homes. To the half tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given land in Bashan, and to the other half of the tribe, Joshua gave land on the west side of the Jordan along with their fellow Israelites. When Joshua sent them home, he blessed them, saying, 'Return to your homes with your great wealth, with large herds of livestock, with silver, gold, bronze, and iron, and a great quantity of clothing, and divide the plunder from your enemies with your fellow Israelites.'" Verse 9, "So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh in Canaan to return to Gilead, their own land, which they had acquired in accordance with the command of the Lord through Moses." Would you pause with me for a moment of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being a God who speaks. And Father, we ask you to speak to us now that we might know you. Lord, that we might understand what it is to know that we were made for you, made to know you, made to love you, made to live for Christ. And it's in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen. We may be seated. Well, my wife Ashley and I just celebrated 16 years of marriage. And as we talked about that for a few moments, we couldn't hardly believe that we'd been married for 16 years. We're not that old, right? And then we began to think, well, we've almost got a teenager, so I guess it makes sense that we've been married for that amount of time. And looking back, we were just babies when we got married. And we were 22 years old at the time. And every now and then, as a pastor, I'd have somebody come in, a couple come in that's 22, 23, even 24 years old that's ready to get married. And I don't say this usually, but I think to myself, you're too young. Like, you're not ready to get married. That's a big deal. And then I realized that I wasn't ready either. And some of you are thinking, just wait, you rookie. Some of you have been married for 30, 40 years, 50 years, even 60 years. In fact, I think we have a handful of couples in our church family that have been married 65 plus years. And you've learned, right? You've learned through the ups and downs of life what it means to love someone for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do you part. You've learned that on your wedding day, you don't sign up for a trial run. You sign up for life. And perhaps every anniversary marking a marriage still intact would be prime time for a husband and wife to say to one another, well done. Let's carry on. You've loved me until now. Let's love each other until the end. Well done and carry on. Well done and carry on. That might be an appropriate title for a sermon from today's text where God says to these 2.5 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel who've already received their particular land inheritance on the other side, the eastern side of the Jordan River, well done. You've kept your word. You've not deserted your brothers. You fought with your brothers for the past 7 or so years to defeat the enemies occupying their land. Mission accomplished. You've obeyed the Lord. Now go home. Settle down. Care for your families and keep on loving your God. Well done. And carry on. You know, today there may be some here who feel insignificant. Maybe some who feel unseen, unnoticed, unheard. I want you to know this morning that there's one who sees you. There's one who notices you, always has and always will, even now. And he's the Lord. Church, the Lord notices our faithfulness. He notices our faithfulness. He sees it all. He takes note. He hasn't forgotten you. There's not a thought or a word, a move or an act that God doesn't see in you. When we watch sports games, it's easy for us to get upset when a referee misses a call for our team, right? Happens every game. Always happens. You can't get away from it. Sometimes calls are missed. We think if they're only seen that call this way, if they'd only seen that and noticed that, the outcome would have been different. Well, there's one who sees it all. The Lord sees it all. He notices our faithfulness. And so as we continue to transition into a new year, into 2024, it's right and it's good to recognize where God has been faithful to us, where God has seen us in 2023. He noticed me and he provided for me and he cared for me and he kept records on me because of his commitment to me and his love for me in 2023. Joshua 22, this chapter begins by noting the Transjordanian tribe's faithfulness. There's a good word for us today. Transjordanian, right? Those are the tribes on beyond the Jordan River, the settled beyond the river. East of the river. He noticed their faithfulness in the past. That's what he says in verse 2. Listen, you have done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. And you have obeyed me in everything I commanded, Joshua says. He says, for a long time now to this very day, you have not deserted your fellow Israelites, but have carried out the mission the Lord your God gave you. Notice in these couple verses, they obeyed Moses. They obeyed Joshua. And they obeyed God. We're not meant to miss that they obeyed. And God knew it. Friends, the Lord sees our faithfulness and the Lord never stops being faithful and good to us. He never stops being faithful and good to us. It's not a tit for tat relationship. God established a covenant, a binding agreement with Abraham and his offspring that he would be their God and that they would be his people. It's not a consumer goods, business, transactional kind of arrangement, but a relational commitment. And once again, the Bible, the Word of God is crystal clear that God is always faithful to His promises, that He always keeps His promises, promises that are for our good and the good of all those who trust Him. Let me ask you this morning, do you trust Him? Do you trust God? The only God. We live in an antitrust time. Everybody's suspicious of each other. Can I trust that person? Those people? Can I trust that news source? An antitrust. Here is one who is always trustworthy according to the scriptures. He always tells the truth. He's always faithful. And he's always good. Verse 4, now that the Lord your God has given them rest, important words, as he promised. As he promised. Return to your homes in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Church, let's not miss the character of God here. Every time we open the word, let's read to know the Lord. To hear who he is. He's good. He's faithful. He's a loving Lord who desires to take care of his children. This is his nature. His character. To take care of us, to provide for us by inviting us to know him. Inviting us to know him and granting us peace and security and well-being, the necessary provisions for life. Key word there again is rest. It's a key word in Joshua. God has given them rest, peace, security, well-being, provided for their needs. You see, if verses 1, 2, and 3 invite us to look back, then verse 4 calls us to stop and consider God's faithfulness in the present. Right here, an echo of the last verse that John dealt with last week, the last verse of the preceding chapter, chapter 21, verse 45. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. In a nutshell, that's what Joshua's about. God's faithfulness in fulfilling all his good promises to Abraham's offspring. We looked at those as we began this journey. Promise of progeny, descendants. The promise of a relationship with the Lord. I'm to be their God and they're going to be my people. The promise now of this good land. The Lord is keeping those promises for the good of his people and for the sake of his reputation and for the fulfillment of his purposes to save a people in Birmingham, Alabama in 2024. And a people throughout the generations from every nation, tribe, people, and language who will one day be gathered around his throne forevermore, worshiping him in accordance with his unchanging character. And because this is who he is, church, this is who God is, this is the kind of sovereign God and King who lays claim on us. Because this is who he is, loving and serving him becomes a joy, begins to become a joy and a delight when we remember that he never stops being faithful and good to us. But we're so prone to forget. Just a few moments, we'll participate in communion, an act of remembering, helping us to remember the gospel. Helping us to remember God's provision. And so when he calls us to keep on loving and living for him, the Lord calls us to keep on loving and living for him. When he calls us to keep on loving and living for him, we do well to remember that he keeps on loving and providing for us. Again, in a marriage, it becomes easier to love our spouse when we remember what we first loved about our spouse. When we began to take inventory of the gifts that God has given him or her. Remembering again the gift that they are to us. Likewise, when we remember the good, kind character of God, the provision of God, the commitment of God, it becomes natural and good to respond to him by loving and living for him. He calls us to keep on loving and living for him. This is the carry on of the well done and carry on. The forward and future focus of the text. In essence, to these tribes, the Lord says through Joshua, you've been faithful to God, the God who provided for you, who provided houses you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant, clothes you didn't buy, riches you didn't earn, because he's been faithful to his word and because he cares for you. But, verse 5, be very careful. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. To keep the Lord your God, to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commands, to hold fast to Him and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's a warning. A reminder of our proclivity to sin. Of our tendency to forget. Our incurvatus inse, as Augustine coined it, our tendency to live life inward toward self rather than upward toward God and outward toward others. And this one verse, verse 5, summarizes the whole book of Deuteronomy. Keep on loving the Lord your God. It recalls the Shema, the Jewish pledge of allegiance to God that was part of their daily prayers. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You know, if I said, keep on loving your God, it's got a different ring to it than if I said, keep on loving your God. Former tends to emphasize rules and obedience, a way of living, while the other, a special relationship, love the Lord your God. You see, the obedience to God, our obedience to God, is meant to be an overflow of our love for God. A natural and necessary response to knowing God, to seeing and experiencing the glory and goodness of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. In other words, our obedience to Jesus testifies to our love for Jesus. If we love him, we want to obey him. And so the invitation of the book, this book within the book and the whole book, is to know the Lord so that we begin to love the Lord. And as we begin to love the Lord, we want to live for him. Joshua is telling these tribes here to keep on loving the Lord. Keep on living for the Lord. Verse 6, then Joshua blessed them and he sent them away and they went to their homes. I don't know about you, but I'm a bit of a homebody. When I've been away for a bit, I'm ready to be home. A few days, maybe it's going to visit family, maybe it's going on a trip. I'm ready to be home. Some of you have been away for longer periods of time, months at a time, maybe years at a time. I cannot imagine what that feels like to get to then go home. Some of you have been deployed. I've never been deployed, and I can only think what that must be like to finally get to go home. Well, here is a group, thousands of members of these tribes who've been on deployment. No short deployment either. This is a multi-year deployment. Don't you know they were glad to go home? They'd miss seasons and celebrations. No doubt they'd miss birthdays and anniversaries, even deaths. They finally went home. They're going home. And they're called to go home, Joshua tells them, with the Lord on their hearts and the Lord on their minds. I wonder about you. Perhaps you're in a place of a new beginning, a new start. Maybe a season of transition. Maybe you're going to graduate soon. Maybe you're graduating from high school. Maybe you're graduating from college. Maybe you're beginning a new career. Maybe you're getting married. Maybe you're changing careers. Maybe you're moving a new home, a new neighborhood, new school, maybe even a new city, whatever the case. Don't miss the Lord's message for you. I've seen your faithfulness. I'm taking care of you. Now keep your eyes on me. Well done. And carry on. You see, church, I think we hear in here, in Joshua 22, that God is the constant in our lives. And the best thing that we can do is to recognize Him. His provision for us. Provision of grace for a sinful people,
and then run to Him and find rest in Him. To keep on loving the Lord your God, who will forever keep on loving you. See, it's not a message of fireworks in the new year, but of continued faithfulness to the God of yesteryear. I think most of us are so prone to me-ism that we want this year to be our year. Right? The year I get healthy, the year I get rich, the year I get graduated or celebrated or acclimated. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be more biblical if our perspective simply shifted to reflect the glorious person and the gracious presence of God? Less of me, more of Him. If we simply said to God, Lord, may this be a year in my life in which I make much of You, a year I rest in You, a year I enjoy You and the blessing of being one of Your people, a year that by Your sustaining grace and Holy Spirit's power, I love and live for You. See, I think these nine verses, just nine verses here in Joshua 22, these nine verses that almost feel like a parenthetical side note or a breath of fresh air in the midst of an account of battles and boundaries. Right, a subsection meant to remind us that lasting contentment only comes from loving God. Lasting contentment only comes from loving God. Only one thing could truly satisfy and sustain these guys through their 7-year deployment in the Promised Land and for the remainder of their days in their new homeland. And that one thing is this: God. Knowing and loving God. Friend, are you satisfied in God? Do you know Him? Are you drinking from the well that never runs dry? That is a relationship with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your faith in Him? Is your heart open to Him? Are your arms open to Him? Or are you chasing after other things that only He can satisfy? Is He your greatest desire, the good Father whom you love, the Savior you want to serve, and the Lord you want to obey? See, lasting contentment only comes from loving Him, for everything else is temporary. But He remains forever. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And you were meant, as David reminded us from the scriptures earlier this morning, you were meant, you were made to know and to enjoy a relationship with the Lord forever. To feel and experience and know His love and to love Him, the Lord your God, forever. And if this isn't right in your life, nothing else matters. He's the one, the only one, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. He's the only God, and He's now the one who has come to us in Jesus Christ. That's the part of the story that these tribes were yet to know, and yet we're privileged to know. Right? That another Joshua, another Yeshua, a greater leader through whom God would save His people, was coming. He has come. We've just celebrated His coming. He was coming to live and to die and to rise in our place, that we and all who put their faith in Him might live eternally, knowing, loving, and enjoying King Jesus in His perfect kingdom of permanent rest forever. Friend, have you done that? Like, have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you looking to Him for life and salvation, for forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God? Friend, do so today. Do so now. Find lasting contentment in knowing Him. See, the Bible teaches that Jesus came to save us, that He came to rescue us, that He came to show us the greatest love and to offer us the greatest gift. The Bible says it this way. It says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So you see, the call of today's text is to keep on loving the one who will always and forever love you. And how do we know he loves us? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, as we think about the invitation to know you, to know your love, to be in relationship with you, and to continue on in that relationship forever because of the provision of your grace extended to us in the gospel of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would stir our hearts to faith in you, that you would lead us and point us and draw us to Jesus, your Son, who is our Savior, even now as we remember his sacrifice on our behalf, that we might be reconciled to you now and forevermore. Father, we pray that your Spirit would guide us as we come to the table. God, as we eat, as we drink and remember, lead us to do so in a way that overwhelms us with the goodness of your grace. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.